Welcome in the latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Braddon. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter, and I'm joined as always by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Balls on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on, man. Spring football has arrived in the SEC. We got Auburn and Missouri. They've already opened camp, Shane.
Yeah.
We'll have the entire SEC practicing spring here in just a matter of days. And, hey, I know spring football, that's not the most exciting, but that's the next milestone to getting here for the upcoming season. So I'm pretty fired up, man. How are you?
I love spring football, man. I think it's just you forget about it for a brief second. You forget. This is like the little lull that college football is over, and then all of a sudden we're slapped in the face with spring ball, praying to God our athletes don't get hurt, you know, looking forward to those spring games. This is a great time. Plus, you also get to see some of this new talent. What's the next chapter of SEC football? Who's going to be that rising star? And you probably kept an eye on them on 24/7, and you're like, oh, man, we got this four-star kid coming out of Georgia. Well, now you're going to get to see him in pads and perform. So I think that's the cool part about spring ball is just the optimism that you have for your program, you know?
Right. And so I thought this would be a perfect opportunity, Shane, hit on all 14 SEC teams like we love to do. I thought I'd just run down my list here, and then we'll get feedback from you on the main thing that each SEC team is going to be trying to accomplish during spring camp. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, again, I don't have a list. We're going off SEC Mike's list. If you have any, you know, problems with that list, you just be sure to at him on Twitter and don't rope me into those things. But no, I don't think you can mess this up, Mike. So yes, I am interested. What do these teams need to have during SEC football in the spring?
Right. And so I just look going alphabetical order. That's all I'm doing here. I'm not picking Alabama because other shows just highlight Alabama. We're not that show. We're just going alphabetical here, Shane. But, you know, I think it'd be super easy to just kind of say quarterbacks for a lot of these schools. So I'm trying to look a step further. And also, I mean, let's say Nick Saban came out here last day of spring and said, Jalen Milroe's our starting quarterback. Well, Ty Simpson will probably transfer the very next day. So any of these teams that have a quarterback competition, I don't think they're going to be naming their quarterback unless it's, you know, completely obvious who they're going to start, and only they'll know that in camp. So I'm not even really going to identify any of the quarterback competitions we got. What I think is more important with a new offensive system, and obviously a new defensive coordinator as well, but where Alabama has really struggled, Shane, in recent years, is establishing that power rushing attack. Mm-hmm. Because for years and years, when we think Alabama football, yes, they've had some quarterbacks and receivers come through there, but the constant during the dynasty has been when it's third and short, when it's fourth and short, Alabama's going to rip out your soul and your guts and all that, and they're going to pound it right down your throat.
Right.
They're going to pick up that short yardage. That's not been a given in recent years. So I think that's a big part why they're hiring this Tommy Reese. They're getting back to the ground game. They're going to have a new starting quarterback, whoever that is, whether it's Ty Simpson or Jalen Milroe. So I think for Alabama, we have got to reestablish ourselves as the big boys on the block when we do potentially face Georgia down the line or whoever it is. We have to be able to ensure that we can run the ball on those teams. And I think that's what's been missing. So for me, the biggest thing for spring in Tuscaloosa, establishing that physical presence on the line of scrimmage and in the running game.
Yeah. And it's something that you brought up earlier this week that you expect this offense to kind of move to that direction of the Georgia Bulldogs. And this isn't saying that Saban's out to copy Kirby. What I'm saying is Saban likes to follow what works. And last year, when you look at Georgia Bulldogs and the way they established a run and was able to sprinkle in a couple of explosive plays. You know, when you do think Alabama football, I mean, you think of people like Derrick Henry. You think of people that have come through there, just explosive, physical running backs, controlling the line of scrimmage. That's the Alabama football we grew up and loved. They got away from it, but I think they get a little bit more closer to the roots here, and you're right. So to do that, you know, you could focus on the running back, but, man, I'm focusing on that offensive line. I need to see that push because there were some times last year it almost surprised you that Bama wasn't able to get those 2 or 3 yards just going toe-to-toe with the defense.
Yep. Now, how about for Arkansas, Shane? You know, you could kind of focus on the defense. Could be many positions there on defense we need to get situated. But for me, Shane, Arkansas is going to go as far as the offense takes them this year. KJ Jefferson, there's – I mean, he doesn't have it. If you're doubting KJ at this point, you're just an idiot.
Yeah.
Rocket Sanders, one of the best running backs. They do lose two big offensive linemen, but, you know, we've said it time and time again. We got so much faith in Sam Pittman. I can't question the offensive line. So
yeah.
The only thing, the final piece of the puzzle, Shane, is that receiving core. Once again, rebuilding it, they've lost four of their top five receivers. And the only one in the top five that's back is Rocket Sanders, who's a running back. So there's some big shoes to fill there. They do bring back Bryce Stevens, but he only had 9 catches. Isaiah Satania, he was a big freshman a year ago, but he only had 2 catches. So it's almost like a brand new receiving core. And they brought in some transfers, Shane. Andrew Armstrong, he played at Texas A&M Commerce. Isaac Tesla from Division II Hillsdale, and Tyrone Broden from Bowling Green. So these are some guys that have never done it to this level, and you may be sitting here saying, well, who the hell are these guys?
Yeah.
Here's their stats, admittedly at a lower level, but here's how these three receivers, Shane, that they're bringing in.
Yeah.
162 catches, 2,851 receiving yards, 33 touchdowns. This is not their career numbers. This is what they did last season alone. So
right.
I think we're getting some big impact from these receivers. But that again, that's the final piece of the puzzle. Arkansas kind of had to, they basically went through this last offseason. They brought in some guys and they were able to make it, put those pieces together. So I'm not doubting that they can do it. But now's the work. Now they've got to get that chemistry with KJ Jefferson because, again, I think Arkansas is only going to go as far as their offense takes them because I see a lot of shootouts upcoming for them this next season.
Yeah, somebody's got to step up. And that's one of the – I guess you would say one of the departments that really let me down last year was Arkansas receiving corps. It was – because you remember coming in this time last year, we were – like, man, look at this guy, you know, look at this cat they stole from Oklahoma. And then next thing you know, you convince yourself that Arkansas is going to have one of the best cores out there. And I think they fell short a little bit. Now, obviously, there were some factors. And I think if you were going to 1B this situation, obviously receivers are important. But I do think spring balls we need to see some more competitive depth come up. And, you know, because Arkansas ran out of steam a few times and it really hurt them late in the ball games because, like you said, there was a lot of times we got into some kind of shootout here. So I like the production. You know, again, you're going to have to see it. This is one of those things that we're going to have to see during spring practice here. But, you know, that's what we got to have. We don't need eyes. We don't need, like, you know, superstars. We need full team effort here with this receiving corps and just running proper routes because I felt like sometimes – you know, KJ got the heat of the moment, maybe, but they may have fell short in, you know, 2 yards short on a route or, you know, that's that little bit off, you know, that's going to cause a turnover or cause, a turnover and down. So that's what I want to see some chemistry, man. And these guys, you know, they're not big name players, you know, so they're going to have to earn that. And to do that, they're going to have to just keep practicing their ass off.
Yep. Now, for Auburn, Shane, I know I said I'm going to stay away from quarterback competitions, but they got TJ Finley coming back. I think we've seen enough of him to say, you know, maybe a solid backup, but he's not going to lead you anything in the SEC. Can Robbie Ashford be that guy? And the only reason I'm focusing on the quarterback here when I said I wouldn't, because Hugh Freeze has never worked with Robbie Ashford.
Right.
And Robbie Ashford was banged up last season. He showed some potential. He got better as the year went on. So this is not me doubting Robbie Ashford, but we got to see how he fits with Hugh Freeze, the new offensive coordinator, Philip Montgomery, how he fits into their system. And they have to figure out, Shane, I think they're going to add someone via the transfer portal, anybody, anyway, by the end of spring. But they have to figure out, are we bringing in a guy and basically promising he'll be the starter? Or are we bringing a guy in that says, hey, Robbie showed us something in the spring. You're going to have to earn anything you get here. I think that's got to be the big answer for Auburn. They got a lot of questions in a new coaching tenure, obviously. But to me, the biggest one is they really got to find out what they got in Robbie Ashford.
Yeah, a lot of these teams are trying to tune up and find one or two key positions. Auburn's an open. I mean, it almost feels like tryouts is what we're going to be doing down here on the Plains. And I think that's what they got to have, man. So every position, and I think Hugh's going to come out, that you're going to hear him later. Every position's open, man. There is nothing cemented in. Nobody's guaranteed a spot here. And I think that makes them a little bit more dangerous, because you don't know what you're going to be game planning right now when you're talking Auburn. Of course, again, that's a long ways away, but, you know, I think they're going to try to find some identity here in the spring. And what you think Auburn football is going to look like, it may not look like that. You know, it may, for years, it's been a dominant running team. They may come out five wide. And like you said, it may be TJ. So I don't know. That's what I'm intrigued about, because it's been a while since we saw Freeze, and I'm just interested in what he's going to piece together. So if I'm looking at anybody, man, it's you, man. I want to see what he's going to be putting out there.
Now, how about for the Florida Gators, Shane? Again, that's another roster that's turned over. We've had some coaching turnover now just in the last week. But for me, the big thing that we have got to get some kind of clarity at the end of the spring is the offensive line. Four of their starting five have left the program, two to the NFL. Osiris Torrance, he was an All-American. Richard Garage, the left tackle, off to the NFL. And then Ethan White, the left guard, and Michael Tarkin, the right tackle, both transferred to Southern Cal. So all we got back is the center, Shane. So, you know, Billy Napier with a new quarterback. They've got some outstanding running backs. They've got some nice receivers. But the foundation of that offense is a power rushing attack, play action. That's when Anthony Richardson was at his best last season. If they don't have his power rushing game working, and obviously that it all comes on the shoulders of that offensive line, man, it's going to be a long, long season for this offense. So we have got to get some clarity there on the offensive line.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind who the two best athletes. Well, I don't want to say the whole team, but when I think the Florida Gators, I'm thinking running the damn ball. I mean, that's what they're going to do. At times they were explosive, and I think going to be one of the best 1-2 combos coming into the SEC this year. So they got to build around that. Like you said, that's the trenches, man. Center can't do it all. You know what I'm saying? They're going to need some help, but they're also going to need 2 deep, 3 deep. They're going to be rotating like crazy here. So we need some competitive depth as well. But Florida, they got a lot of question marks coming into the season. We got a lot of naysayers. I mean, you see it. You see the coaches leaving and people trying to throw them under the bus. You put all that to bed when you come out here and establish that running game and just punch them right in the mouth. So not used to seeing that at the Florida Gators, but that's going to be the next chapter here. And I think that's what we need to see in the spring.
Yeah. Well, Shane, I kind of already broke the rule when I said I wasn't going to talk quarterbacks, but
it's hard not to break it, right? Every one of these teams, that's the first thing I want to say. Well, I mean, they have a quarterback, Florida quarterback, you know.
The only one that I think we just kind of have to focus on, Shane, and that's the Georgia Bulldogs. Because you lose to Stetson, Heisman finalist, two-time national champion. You know, he was always doubted. He always had that chip on his shoulder. He was so paramount to Georgia's success. Now, again, I don't think Kirby, by the end of spring, is going to come out here and say, this guy, you know, we've got Carson Beck, who everybody thinks may be the starter. Brock Vandegrift was a five-star. He's not going away. And don't forget Gunnar Stockton, another five-star, who Mike Bobo recruited to South Carolina. So, I mean, maybe Gunnar Stockton is the best fit for what Mike Bobo wants to see here. So we have just got to get some kind of clarity a little bit. Again, I don't anticipate they're going to name a starter after spring because that's going to lead to one or two transfers. But, you know, just I'm just very, very curious to see how this shapes up, who steps up, and, you know, who really kind of leads the charge heading into the summer, heading into training camp. Because I think this may be a decision that defines whether the Georgia Bulldogs win three national championships in a row.
Nah, you're not wrong there, Mike. And you know, that's the thing with Georgia. They're at that point where they're losing a ton of talent every single year to the NFL draft. That's going to, you know, that's going to be the theme down there. And you keep waiting for a drop off on offense or defense, especially. I remember we kept saying 2 years ago, it's the best defense we have ever seen. They'll never repeat it, you know? And then these boys come out and they make their own identity. So one bad class, and you're Alabama answering questions on why you lost two games during the season. So that I think that's the key with Georgia too. Maybe not just the quarterback play, but just the transition into a new identity. You know, the toughest thing, you thought them boys were living in a shadow after, you know, a national championship. They go back, they win it too. Try these kids. Back-to-back winning national championships. You know what I'm saying? The third year, you better do it. There's a lot of pressure down there in Athens to not take their foot off the gas. So quarterback definitely going to be crucial here. And there is a lot of names. And you're curious how that's going to play out if they do decide one during the spring. Do we see them pack their bags and go somewhere else? You know, there for a minute, I thought Gunner may be coming back to Knoxville, but, you know, I don't know. So I'm very interested to see how that plays out because I think it could affect other teams because these kids aren't going to just stick around and be the backup.
Yeah. All right, how about Kentucky? Shane, I think this is an obvious one. The defense is always stingy there under Mark Stoops. Well, you know, they've added a quarterback. They've added a running back. They got some standout young receivers. But it's all about that big blue wall down there that they pride themselves on.
Yeah.
We took a big step back in that spot last season. It was very uncharacteristic of Mark Stoops' program here. They got Kenneth Horsey back for a sixth season. They lost Kenyatta Goodwin, the former five-star, one of the highest prospects they ever signed, transferred to Florida, so that was a big loss. But they've added Tanner Bowles from Alabama and Marquise Cox from Northern Illinois, one of the standouts at the G5 level. So those transfers should help. But if the offensive line doesn't get up to speed, I think it could be another struggle year for Kentucky.
Very, very disappointed with those guys last year and uncharacteristic with Kentucky. And it's so funny. Sometimes you don't talk about offensive line. If you're not talking about the line, then they're doing great. If they're talking about you every week, then we've got a problem. And that's what we were doing, man. Will Levis running for his life. Rodriguez having sometimes just to do it himself. And that's not Kentucky football. Kentucky controls the line of scrimmage, and they got to get back to that. So very, very interested to see how that five or that seven-man group lines up coming out of spring.
Now, LSU, Shane, this is a team that, just like last offseason, adding a lot of transfers, and they had to basically totally rework the defensive backfield last offseason. They're having to do it again. So that's kind of where my focus is, the defensive backfield. They lost Bernard Converse to the NFL, Jay Ward, Seven Banks, just recently announced he's jumping to the NFL. But they've added Denver Harris, former five-star from A&M. They added a corner from Ohio State, J.K. Johnson. How about this name? This is the best name maybe in the SEC now, Shane. Deuce Chestnut from Syracuse. Now he's down at LSU. And Zy Alexander from Southeast Louisiana. Yeah. So you don't bring in four corners if you're happy with where your corners are at. I think this is the biggest question mark for LSU, which is just loaded. But, again, in the way football's played now, you got to have these cover corners. Otherwise, you got no chance against elite offenses.
Deuce Chestnut. That's my stage name, Mike. How'd that get out there, you know? I'll say this, Mike. There's a lot of things I'm looking forward to seeing with LSU. It's just that next, you know, that soft. Usually, you don't see teams just compete out of the gate and win the West Championship, you know. I want to see what does this team look like year two with the full offseason of this is our guy, this is our chemistry, working on that offense, work on the timing, work on special teams, Mike. You know what I'm saying? There may be several practices that just focus on that. So they get that down put. I mean, that's another at least one or two victories. So, yeah, I like this LSU thing. And this is – we've already ramped up, man. This is a blue-chip program. And just what does that chemistry look like? How does this offense – because LSU was slow out of the gate. I don't think we see that this year. I think we see an explosive team right out of the gate. So I'm excited on all aspects of LSU. Just, again, some of that depth, but more of the chemistry between Daniels and company.
How about Ole Miss, Shane? You know, Lane Kiffin, he runs it almost like an NFL franchise where he brings in all these transfers. They're bringing in another 13 transfers, including, of course, two quarterbacks. So for me, Shane, it's about chemistry and just kind of building a roster. I mean, there's no one that does it quite like Lane Kiffin. He's mm-hmm. been wildly successful the first 2 years, or the last 2 years, I should say, at Ole Miss. I think that's going to continue. So for me, it's kind of just getting all these moving pieces, putting them into their, you know, trying to figure out where they fit, getting the chemistry building of this Ole Miss team. To me, that is kind of what it's just so unusual. It's like an NFL training camp where you're trying to weed out who belongs and who doesn't. And I feel like at Ole Miss, that's going to be basically the task every spring under Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, man, it's the easy answer obviously is on that side of the ball, but there was a lot of defensive mistakes last year. We go out, we get Golding. I think that's going to be where I'm looking. The trenches on that side of the ball, you know, just forcing some of these three and outs, something that, you know, it felt like they were on the field too much last year. So I'm looking at the big uglies on the defensive front, and I want to see, are we going to have a crew that can get after a quarterback, create some chaos in the backfield? So I'm going to be watching those guys.
Now for Mississippi State, Shane, we got a new coaching staff mm-hmm. and a new scheme on offense. They're not blowing up the pass happy attack necessarily, but they are trying to be a little bit more balanced.
Yeah.
So it's all about Kevin Barbey and the installation of that offense where, hey, it was fun watching Mississippi State throw it 50, 60 times a game, but under Zach Arnett, we're going to be running it a lot more. How smooth is that transition? How well does Will Rogers fit into what Kevin Barbey, the new offensive coordinator, wants to do? I think that's the story of spring at Mississippi State because, again, if they just tweak it, they don't have to blow it up. They just tweak it to go with that defense. I think Mississippi State's one of the most underrated teams in the SEC.
Yeah, and just you don't want to see a step back either, you know. So I guess I'm also looking to see who steps up for leadership on this team. We're going to have that. It can't just be all from the coaching staff here. Obviously, it's going to be an emotional year with all the Mike Leach talk coming into the season, and rightfully so. But, you know, to win a locker room over, because you got to remember, this is – even though he's been on staff, this is his first year down there at Mississippi State. And sometimes we lose that locker room. So I just really, man, that's kind of what I'm looking for is just on the field leadership. Who steps up for and you usually see that, spot it pretty early in spring, you know?
Right. And when I knew, Shane, when they added a tight end from Georgia transfer.
Yeah.
First time they've had a tight end in six seasons. I was like, my God, things are changing at Mississippi State. You know what?
And it's going to be fun, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved what the Pirate did last year, but we're going to have a difference. This is not going to be the same Mississippi State. They're going to be different. I want to see what's the new direction. What is this program going to look like? So I'm pumped up just to see them on the field, man.
And for Missouri, kind of similar, Shane, but a little bit different. The new offensive coordinator, Kirby Moore, I want to see him. I think the goal is going to be him getting to know the personnel, what he has to work with, what are the strengths of these players so that he can mold to what they can do best. I think that is the biggest key for Missouri because the defense was outstanding considering their talent last season. They were literally just a quarterback and a couple points away from having an 8, 9, 10 win season perhaps.
Yeah.
Again, they pushed Georgia unlike anybody last season, short of Ohio State in that playoff game. So for me, it's all about Kirby Moore and learning the personnel, learning their strengths, giving him an idea of what to run in the fall. I think that's going to be the biggest goal of the spring.
Yeah, biggest goal. I think you're right. And, if Cook's going to be our guy too, you're talking about a chemistry with the wide receivers, which is, I think, going to be the strongest part of this team on that offensive side of the ball. And at times felt like they were just off sync, out of sync, and obviously Horn's not going to, he's going to focus on baseball and his ailments right now. So I don't know if he's going to be a factor, but this is a time for him to win that job. And I know we don't want to talk about quarterbacks. We're trying to be, but this is a real opportunity here for him to just grab hold of those reins and then put all those naysayers away. Because if you could come out, put some good practice, put some good film out there, end with a great spring game, then there's no question who your quarterback is coming into the fall.
Mm-hmm. Now for South Carolina, Shane, I think it's all about, again, similar theme here, new offensive coordinator, Dow Loggins down there in Columbia, but it's a little less about him getting his new system, learning the players. For me, it's Dow Loggins and Spencer Rattler getting on the same page.
Yeah,
we've already talked about how difficult the schedule is right out the gate. So they need to be up to speed quickly. But, people like to mock Spencer Rattler and they make the jokes, Heisman preseason favorite. He has shown now at two schools, Oklahoma and South Carolina, that he has got more talent than anybody at times. And we saw it firsthand, Tennessee and Clemson. Mm-hmm. I mean, he plays like that for 12 games. He is going to win a Heisman. I'm not
saying
that's going to happen, certainly, because that's a lot difficult to do. It's a lot easier to say than actually do it. But hell, he did it in the two toughest games of the year last year. So there's no reason that he can't be more consistent. And so for me, it's all about Dow Loggins, Spencer Rattler getting on the same page. Dow Loggins calling what Spencer Rattler's comfortable with. And Spencer relaying that to Dow, I think that is the key critical point of the spring because, again, South Carolina does not currently have a roster overall that you sit here and say, well, they're going to win the SEC. They can beat Georgia. Right. They can beat Alabama. But, my God, if Spencer Rattler throws seven touchdowns on them like he did against Tennessee, maybe they can beat those teams. So, to me, I hate to put all that on one player. But if you got an elite, elite, elite quarterback, that makes, that shores up any other shortcomings you may have.
Yeah, and I will say on that note, too, this cannot be all on Spencer. And I think he loves the pressure. He loves the spotlight. But, he's going to have – he can't do it by himself. And they really got to get that running game going, Mike. And Lloyd's out. You know, we got some pieces still laying around. I think McDowell's one of the best. I mean, just juke guys. I mean, he's one of those that you want on Madden. You know what I'm saying? But we need some bruisers, man. We need to move the chains without Rattler's arm and keep defenses honest because it felt like when both of those are going, you mentioned the Tennessee game, they're unstoppable. So. That's what I want to see at the end of the spring. Who's our guys? I imagine it's going to still be a committee, but I think we're going to have a better idea of what this offense is going to look like, mainly from that rushing attack.
Yep. And speaking of Tennessee, Shane, they're next on the docket. I think tight end is certainly something they need. Yeah. They need to get that figured out, but that's not my selection. They brought in a transfer from UC Davis. They brought in a transfer linebacker. I think linebacker is they got loads of talents, young talent though. But where I'm most focused, and you could even potentially say offensive line, they brought in more transfers there. But For me, it's a defensive back, Shane. I'm currently going back watching all the games from last season, and that stands out. It's not like they were awful at all the games, but many games just, you know, missed tackling, you know, should have been interceptions. Obviously, losing man-to-man coverage time and time again. I think the corners especially and the safeties, we need to get up to speed if Tennessee is going to make that next step and possibly once again contend for an SEC and national title. And they brought in some freshmen they love, Christian Conyers, Ricky Gibson. They beat out Georgia for Ricky Gibson. Yeah. Jordan Matthews, the number one corner from Louisiana. They beat Texas, and LSU couldn't even get him. You know what I mean? So these are some elite potential players. Can they come in day one and be corners? That's difficult, but they're very, very talented players, and they're all on campus for spring. We got to get these guys up to speed.
Like I read your notes, Mike, you know, because I'm the same thing. You know what I'm saying? These guys hurt my feelings a lot last year, and it's not their fault when you're on the field the entire game. You know, that eventually you feel like it's going to break. So I'm with you. I know we got a lot of young, raw talent on that side of the ball, but we need to work a rotation in. And I think when I say rotation, you can't afford to have a huge drop-off when, you know, a new guy comes in. So I think that should be a huge focus. I know it will be with this staff. And because if we could get that going, that would mean a world of difference on that side of the ball. So I'm with you. Give me the secondary here. I want to see all these guys out there, and I want to see who's the best, but I want to see who's close second so that we can see, because some of these younger guys are going to work their way into that rotation later in the season.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, how about A&M, Shane? I mean, Devon Achane off to the NFL. What an incredible, incredible player he was. But we did just sign five-star running back Reuben Owens. So I'm not too concerned. Maybe it'd be unfair to ask Owens to day one be Devon Achane. But I think more important to A&M, because they got their quarterback. They've got some nice receivers and a tight end, similar to Kentucky. It's all about that offensive line.
Absolutely.
That's what really stood out to me last season. I was so disappointed with Shane, was just the offensive line was not getting a push. They were not protecting the quarterback. We've got back four guys with starting experience, and we signed loads of talent on that offensive line. Let's get these guys up to speed, get them gelled in here. And if they reach their potential, I'm thinking back to the great year they had in 2020. It was what they call them, the Mean Green or something like that. I mean, the Maroon Goons is what
Maroon
they call
Goons,
them.
Yeah.
They were just killing people on that offensive line. If they can get back to that, Shane, Texas A&M is going to be one of the biggest surprises in the SEC.
I'm with you, Mike. Big disappointment last year. Everybody kept telling us how good they were supposed to be, but they just never showed up. And that may be some play calling there. I don't want to put it on Jimbo, but sometimes, you know, you got to make sure these guys are in the right spot. So I think they take a huge step forward this season, and I'm sure they've been ran hard all off season. So these boys are going to come in bigger, stronger, faster. And I think we may not get the Maroon Goons back, but then if we could get somewhat of a version of that, I think Texas A&M is going to be in good shape here. Because they do got the talent, Mike. They do got the talent.
You picking them to win again at SEC?
Hey, that's a little tease. You'll have to jump on later.
All right, last but not least, Vanderbilt, Shane. I think they really need to find some defensive playmakers. That was missing last season. The offense, you know, finally kind of got up to speed. We've got some playmakers on that side of the ball, but we were at many times lacking defense, and for good reason. I mean, it was a total rebuild there, but Clark Lee, outstanding defensive coordinator, year three. This is when that's got to start showing on the field. Yeah. And, you know, maybe just to piggyback that a little different, but, you know, they built a lot of momentum at the tail end of last season, nearly knocked off Missouri. Then they turn around and beat Kentucky and Florida before a terrible finish against Tennessee. I want to see that momentum, if they can move past that disappointing Tennessee game, if they can carry over that momentum, because I have to believe if I'm a player on that roster, I'm totally bought in, because we got to see the evidence late in the season that what Clark Lee is building He's building it right, and they're getting results. If they can carry that over to the offseason, who knows? Vanderbilt could be the biggest surprise in the SEC.
Well, I thought they were surprised last year, Mike, and I don't expect anything different from Coach Lee and company, but I want to see a couple of X factors rise up. You know, Mike's no longer there. He was that X factor last year, can do things with his legs, can stretch the chains when you weren't expecting it. So who's the guy or a couple of guys that step up? It may be receiver, it may be running back, but we need somebody shifty to get creative out there on the field. And I'd like to see some more explosive plays on that side. And they got it. I think, you know, our quarterback's back, you know, I hope he's 100%, but I think that's a position that really takes off. You know, you think about some of those sneaky Vanderbilt good teams and like Cutler, I go back to him. There's always a good quarterback that comes through every so often. And I think Vandy's got a hold of one down there. So keep him healthy, keep him straight. You know, I think we'll be in good shape with Vandy football.
Well, brother, hey, that's all I got on this episode of the show. I know you're about to take off for a little vacation.
Yeah, going down to see the mouse, man. I'm going to Orlando, where dreams are made, you know. I'm just going to go see how this ESPN deal is coming along, you know. I'm just going to help them out there. So, we're going down there, celebrate a little bit. I will be back next week. You know, join it in spring, you know. Now I'll be back on after that. I've got no more breaks until the next month, so. Nobody vacations like Cousin Shane does.
Well, buddy, just wanted to wish you safe travels. I hope you have a great time. We'll hold down the fort here while you're away. But I just always like to let the audience know Shane's taking off so they don't get mad at me when you don't show up on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be like, Mike, am I coming on? Like, no, I got an interview. I don't need you anymore. And I'm like, what? No, I'm just kidding. No, this is awesome, man. Like I said, it's just unreal that spring football is already here. Looking forward to that, you know. So, you know, go to these spring games. They're coming up. I do this every year. It's my public service announcement. You know, it means a lot. It means a lot to the kids. It's a great opportunity to take somebody that may not get to go watch some of those pivotal games that we get to enjoy on Saturdays. And I tell you, it drove me. It made me want to see more football when I got older, coming to these spring games and getting some autographs from players I didn't even know, you know. So it means a lot. It's a great time. And so if you get a shot, go check these spring games out. And if you can sneak in a beer and a koozie, be sure to take a picture of that and send it to us so we can put it on the Twitters.
Absolutely, brother. Well, hey, I think that's a perfect place to end this one. I appreciate you as always. Appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.